Mike Rowe here with a few thoughts on my favorite sweatshirt, a classic zip-up hoodie that used to be navy blue but has since faded to what the fashionistas call a distressed indigo. It's 13 years old, soft as a flannel bathrobe, and after a few hundred dirty jobs, demonstrably and undeniably indestructible. This is the kind of sweatshirt girlfriends like to permanently borrow, but I've held on to this one because I got it from American Giant. American Giant makes all their stuff right here in the USA so they can control every link in their own supply chain. That matters, because when you buy American Giant, you not only get great quality, you create jobs for people in factory towns all over the country. No pressure, but if you give a damn about the business of making things in America, you got to support the companies who are doing it right. Go to American-Giant.com/Mike to get 20% off your first order. That's American-Giant.com/Mike.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
No adults, just us and some meatloaf. Don't worry, they won't tell anyone about you. They promise, right?
We never would have upset you if we knew you had superpowers.
What Dustin is trying to say is that they were just scared earlier. That's all.
We just wanted to find our friend.
Friend?
Yeah, friend. Will?
What is friend?
Is she serious? A friend
is someone that you do anything for.
You lend them your cool stuff like comic books and trading cards.
And they never break a promise.
Especially when they're spit.
Spit?
A spit swear means you never break your word. It's a bond.
That's super important because friends, they tell each other things. Things that parents don't know.
This is episode 2 of Stranger Danger. Covering episode 2 of Stranger Things, chapter 2, The Weirdo on Maple Street. We're back. It's another Friday. It's another Stranger Danger episode. People, I want to thank you. I've gotten more of a response than I expected. And believe me, I'm not saying I got a huge response. I'm saying I did get a response, and that's more than I expected. I'm not talking, thousands of listeners. I'm not talking hundreds of listeners. I'm talking tens of dozens, maybe. And I appreciate every single one of you. And I hope you stick with me, at least through episode 2. I'd love to hear from you on Twitter at Geek Mentality. I'd love to hear from you on the website. You can leave comments right on the website, fansnotexperts.com. I mean, iTunes, we're on iTunes. You can put iTunes reviews on there, only if they're positive, because hell, if they're negative, I don't care. Just to see if anyone's out there would be surprising and exciting. And I just want to say thank you. So, where we last left off, Young Will has gone missing, and something took him somewhere. And we're pretty positive that something came from the Hawkins Laboratory. But what? What indeed? And something else escaped from the Hawkins Laboratory, it appears. A young girl. A mysterious girl who seems to have powers of some sort. She's escaped, and they're looking for her. And as she runs into the woods, she runs into Mike, Dustin, and Lucas, who are out there looking for Will. Bum, bum, bum. So, that's where we left off last time. And to start this episode, the kids, Lucas, Dustin, and Mike, brought Eleven back to Mike's house. Mike gives her some warm clothes, and she starts to undress right in front of them, and the kids freak out. Dustin's reaction was very funny. They're all spooked. They didn't know what to do. They were like, we need to talk to your parents. You need to go to them right away. And Mike's like, look, this is what's going to happen.
She sleeps here tonight.
You're letting a girl?
Just listen. In the morning, she sneaks around my house, goes to the front door, and rings my doorbell. My mom will answer and know exactly what to do. So send her back to Penhurst, wherever she comes from. We'll be totally in the clear. And tomorrow night, we go back out. And this time, we find Will.
Meanwhile, the police show up at Joyce Byers' house. You know, she's telling them that they got a phone call. The phone is fried. And he's like, oh, wow, quite a lightning storm. And, you know, Joyce doesn't seem to be buying it. Now, she's erratic already. But she doesn't buy that it was just a lightning storm. There was some kind of noise. There was some kind of strange, like, monster or animal. And she knows she heard Will's voice. Hopper's like, prank calls come in all the time. Have you heard from Lonnie? Have you talked to Lonnie? One thing that I really liked and made me just love Hopper even more, Jonathan, Will's brother, went out, and said, let me go talk to my dad.
Hey, Hopper. Hopper. Let me go.
I'm sorry.
To Lonnie's. If Will's there, it means he ran away. And if he sees the cops, he'll think he's in trouble. He'll hide. He's good at hiding.
Yeah? Well, cops are good at finding, okay? Stay here with your mom. She needs you.
He gives him this little punch in the arm. And it wasn't like, like a bully punching a kid. It wasn't like a guy, trying to cause pain. It was like hey, man, you need to be strong. And I don't know. I just totally thought that was, I dug it. I thought it was awesome. So then we cut back to Mike's house and boom, they're making Eggos. And my first thought is, Eggos, that's so 80s. And then my second thought was, oh yeah, Eggos. This is only my second time watching these episodes. So certain things are coming back to me at certain times. So Mike is eating his breakfast with the rest of the family and he's kind of poking fun at Nancy because he knows that she had Steve in her bedroom last night. And they're just fighting like brothers and sisters normally do. But Mike ends up taking some extra Eggos down to Eleven, who's still in the basement. She hasn't moved. And he's like, look, this is what's going to happen. Just like he said before, you're going to go around the house. You're going to knock on the door. You're going to ask my mother for help.
No. No? No.
Bad people. There are bad people out there. And she scares Mike. She spooks him out. I think she makes a little hand gesture, like a little gun gesture with a hand that there are bad people. And Mike's like, okay, we won't do that right now. Just stay here for the day. So cut over to the high school where we see Nancy hanging out with Barb. Barb has become a fan favorite. And really, she's not in the show as much as I originally thought. We'll get back to that later. So, of course, we see Steve and Steve's friends, who are the typical 80s high school douchebags. And they're all like, oh, we're going to have a party. My parents are out of town. My dad's going on a trip and my mom doesn't trust him. So it already shows like Steve comes from like a well-off family, but maybe not the best family at home. And the friends are like, oh, come on over. And Nancy's like, it's a Tuesday night. Oh, it's a Tuesday night. Who cares? You could tell that they're those guys in high school that just had no real supervision. They could do whatever they want. They look over and they see Jonathan Byers is there hanging up a missing poster for Will. And they see him and they kind of look at him with pity. At least Nancy goes over and tries to be nice to him. Steve gives that little, wave at least. It just shows that Steve's not completely horrible. I read somewhere where they were going to make Steve, assault Nancy, almost have a rape scene, but the actor was too likable, So they kind of tweak the way the character is. And I'm glad, because you see him in this and you want to really dislike him so far. And then you see him in like the Domino's commercials and as doing the Ferris Bueller thing. And it's pretty funny. But yeah, so you hear an announcement that night there's going to be an assembly at the football field at 8 p.m. for everyone to come and just kind of, you know, like, I don't know if it's a vigil, but some kind of assembly for Will. We cut back to Mike's home, and we realize that Mike actually skipped school, and he drove his awesome 80s banana seat bike back to his house when his mother goes away, and he spends time with Eleven, goes back and hangs out with her. And this started showing me the E.T. stuff, you know, where Elliot is showing E.T. around the house. This is Mike showing Eleven around the house, a lazy boy chair, toys. So I love these little nods to the 80s stuff. There can't be enough of them, because they're subtle. They're not over the top. Like, even the last episode, there was a typewriter typing missing persons. And to me, I look back at it now, I'm like, oh my God, that's a reference to Jaws and the typing of Shark Attack. It has to be. It has to be. So while Mike is showing Eleven stuff around the house, we cut back to Jonathan Byers, who's driving out of town. Obviously, he's not listening to Hopper. He's going to see his dad. The Clash plays on the radio. They have a flashback to in Jonathan's room. Jonathan's showing Will, you know, music, showing him the Clash, talking about cool music, you know, kind of trying to show him and expose him to some cool 80s music. Meanwhile, Joyce is on the phone with Lonnie, arguing because Lonnie didn't show up. He was going to take Will to a baseball game, and of course he didn't show up. But Jonathan just closes the door and, like, let's focus on the music. And there was an Evil Dead poster on the wall, which was pretty, pretty cool. One thing I forgot to mention, there is a scene where Matthew Modine listens in on Joyce's phone call to Will. He is aware that Will is missing now. He's aware that there's a missing boy. He's aware, of course, of the missing girl. And he's aware that something has escaped from the lab. But now that he's aware of Will being missing, that leads to something pretty soon. I'll get to that. I just made a note that says Winona Ryder is really good. She is really, really good in this. I think I wrote that literally because she had to go to her job. She had to go to her work and get a phone and get an advance and from her job because her phone fried. And the manager was hesitant, but, you know, he understood and he was good about it, which was nice. But just her acting in that, I just wrote down, Winona Ryder is really good. While she's out of the house, while Jonathan's out of the house, Matthew Modine and his cronies show up at the house. They're pretending to look like, they look like they're pretending to be like surveyors or, you know, salesmen or something. But they get in their hazmat suits and they start looking all around Will's place with these instruments and these machines. And Matthew Modine goes right into the shed and he finds this ooze and he's like, interesting. You know, he knew what it was right away. And I'm thinking to myself, is that what Hopper saw in the last episode? It was so dark, I didn't pick up on it. But that has to be it. So Brenner now knows that the disappearance of Will is related to the stuff going on at the lab. We cut back to Mike and Eleven in Mike's bedroom, and Mike showing off his Star Wars toys. I mean, boom, that's directly out of E.T. I mean, Elliot was showing E.T. his Star Wars toys. But the best line was when Mike said to Eleven,
"What knows you have ready?
His name's Yoda.
He can use the force to move things with his mind. And I'm like, perfect. Eleven's like, yeah, I can do that. And so, you know, she's checking out the room, looking at posters, smiling at different things. And she sees this picture. She sees this picture of the four of them at a science fair. Lucas, Dustin, Mike, and Will. And she just looks at him. She looks right at Will. And she recognizes him. And I didn't remember that. I was like, whoa, I forgot about that. She looks right and she starts to like freak out a little bit. She recognizes him and he's like, you recognize him? You know him? But then Mike tries to get Eleven to leave. They wanted to go somewhere. I'm guessing maybe they were going to go look in the woods again or something. But Mike's mom shows up and they ran back upstairs and Mike's mom, of course, hears him. So he hides Eleven in the closet. He goes downstairs and said, you know, just says, oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm sick, blah, blah, blah. But because Eleven's hiding in the closet, she gets a little claustrophobic and has a flashback. Flashback to her and Brenner back in the lab, and she calls Matthew Modine's character Brenner, she calls him Papa. And I was so sad. And two guys in shirts are dragging her down the hallway, and they throw her in a closet, and she's like, Papa! Papa! And he's, you could almost see Matthew Modine almost cared, not enough, but he almost cared. Meanwhile, the cops find out about Benny. They find out about Benny, and they head over to his diner, and that's where they see him there, dead, with a gun in his hand. They stage it to look like a suicide. It was sad because that guy deserved better. That guy actually was helping Eleven. He did not deserve to go out like that. We cut back to Jonathan showing up at Lonnie's house and just kind of going quickly through the house looking for Will. His dad comes out and like almost tackles him, but in a roughhousing, trying to be loving kind of way. They spend a few minutes together, and you could just see that Lonnie is a bit of a prick. I mean, he's like, oh, Will will show up. He's probably just, running around. Don't worry about it. Your mom's a really good mom. You're here, and Will's missing. Great mom, mom of the year. So you could tell that Lonnie is a bit of a prick. He wants them to move out of that weird town. He's like, oh, is Hopper still the sheriff? You need to get out of that town. Come into the big city. And you could just see that, Jonathan's like, I don't need your help. He just wanted a check. He wasn't looking for his dad. He wasn't looking for a handout. He wasn't looking for love. He just went there to see if Will was there. Will's not there. He doesn't give a shit. He leaves. So we're back at Mike's house now, and he lets Lucas and Dustin in on everything he learned from Eleven about the bad men, about the fact that she recognized Will in the photograph. And they're like, look, we need to go tell your mom. Also, there's a Dark Crystal poster on the wall. Boom, 80s. So Lucas is like, enough of this. This is crazy. We need to tell your parents now. He goes to open the door. Boom, the door closes. He goes to open the door again. Boom, the door closes. And they look over at Eleven. She's got a nosebleed. And she's like, no. Okay, I'm good. All right, we cut back to the police station, and Hopper is questioning one of Benny's friends. He's like, oh, that's not like Benny. Benny wouldn't have done that. We're going fishing here. We had stuff. He was really looking forward to going fishing. That doesn't seem right. Nothing seemed out of the ordinary. There was a kid that was there. And Harper's like, a kid? What do you mean a kid? Now, this is almost that mistaken identity because it was Eleven that was there. And this guy's thinking, was it Will? And the guy's like, that kid had a shaved head. No, that's not the buyer's boy. This one had like a crew cut. And he thinks it's a boy. And Hopper's like, okay, but if he had a haircut, could have been him. He's like, I guess it could have been. So that's the first real lead that Hopper had on a kid at all. Any kid, I also wrote down that Nancy tries to talk Barb into going to Steve's. Barb was not into this. Barb is not into this. And Nancy's just too smitten with Steve, that she's kind of being drugged down into the group of D-bags and forsaking her friend Barb in the meantime. So we cut back to Mike's house, and they're having dinner. There's Lucas and Dustin are there also having dinner. And that's when Nancy's like, hey, there's a big assembly tonight at 8 p.m. at the field. It would be weird if I wasn't there. And her mom's like, I don't want you out. But she's like, everyone's going to be there. She's like, okay, just be back by 10 o'clock. You can bring your brother and their friends. And they're like, no, we don't want to go. And at that same moment, Eleven walks downstairs and goes from upstairs down into the basement. She cuts through right in front of everybody, but the parents have their back turned, and the kids' reactions, I laughed out loud. I mean, it was hilarious. Mike spits up his milk, and Dustin slams on the table to get their attention, and just like, sorry. So we cut back to Hopper, and he has a search party, and I assume they're, near the diner now, I think is where they were, because of, the lead that they might be having, that there was a kid there. And actually the science teacher, he's the one who has a lead. He finds this little bit of hospital gown clothing right outside a tunnel. And they're like, no kid's going to climb through that tunnel. And Hopper's like, if a kid is afraid enough, a kid's going to climb through that tunnel. And they kind of follow where the tunnel they think leads. And of course, they look up and they see the Hawkins laboratory. That's not where Will's hiding. That is how Eleven escaped. So Mike and the boys stay behind, and they bring dinner down to Eleven. Lucas is still very hesitant about this. He's like, we need to find our friend. We don't need to be focusing on this. And Eleven's like, what is friend? They're like, are you kidding me? She doesn't know what a friend is. And they're like, a friend is someone who doesn't break promises. A friend is someone that you do anything for. They're like, we apologize. These guys, we don't want to send you to the bad people. These guys are just scared. And Dustin had the best line, which is, "We never would have upset you if we knew you had superpowers." I just love that line. Meanwhile, you know, Nancy talked Barb into going over to Steve's house. You could see that, you know, Nancy's, she even like changes what she's wearing to be a little more, you know, I guess desirable for young Steve. And Barb is like, "Come on, what the hell are you doing here?" You know, we see that Hopper is depressed. He's got some lady friend over his house, and he's like, "You know, there hasn't been a missing person here since the 20s. There hasn't been a suicide since the 60s. He's like, "Do you think I have bad luck? You think there's just like a dark cloud following me?" And you can see he's starting to get depressed, and there's something more going on with Hopper that we find out later, but we don't discuss right now. Now we cut back to Mike's basement, which to me, looking at it now, is an awesome scene. They're like, "Do you know where our friend is? Do you know where Will is?" She looks at the Dungeons and Dragons board. She picks up the wizard piece and says, "Will." She throws all the other pieces off the board, flips the board upside down. Upside down, right? I mean, come on. Awesome. Puts Will right in the middle and says, "Hiding." They're like, "Hiding from what?" She takes the piece of the Demogorgon and slams it on the table. That represents the monster, and that's the moment where the boys start realizing, whatever is after Will, we're going to start calling it the Demogorgon, because that's the monster. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome. And I believe that's the last we see of the boys and Eleven for this episode. Cut back to Jonathan Byers, who's now in the woods. With the woods where Mike's, where Will's bicycle was last seen. He brings his camera and he's just taking pictures of things, looking for anything that, you know, might seem out of the ordinary. And he hears this crazy scream again. And he's like, "What?" He runs like he's going to go save the day or someone's in trouble. But it's just Nancy and Steve and Steve's jerky friends and Barb, and they're just hanging out by the pool and, you know, threatening to throw people in. And, you know, Jonathan stays there and he's just kind of creeping around taking pictures of them as they're doing this. You know, Nancy shotguns a beer. Barb tries to shotgun a beer, cuts her hand. She's not really into it. You can see she's not into it. She just wants to leave, but she tries doing it. She cuts her hand. She's really not happy. We cut back and Joyce Byers has her new phone. She's just sitting there waiting, waiting, waiting. Gets another phone call. This time she actually hears Will say, "Mom," freaks her the F out. The phone burns again. Like the lights start flashing and flickering. Okay. Then the stereo turns on again and it's "Should I Stay or Should I Go?" And it's like, oh, that's so cool. She's freaking out. Stereo lights are flashing. This thing starts coming through the wall and she just, which reminds me of Freddy Krueger. And there's a Jaws poster on the wall. I love all these little 80s references. And she runs out of there and, you know, the music stops. The music starts again. It says, "Should I Stay or Should I Go?" And it's almost like she's thinking, is this Will? Is this something, should I stay or should I go? And she goes back to the house. Pretty, pretty awesome. So the last segment of the show, Nancy wants to hang out and stay with Steve. The typical, "Let's come with me to my friend's house and I'll leave me behind. I'll be fine. I'll get my own ride home. Barb, you should probably go. Because I'm going to stay with Steve and get naughty." Douchey friend move, but it happens, especially at that age. And Barb's like, "You got to be kidding me." Bob's like, "You know, I'm going to stick around. I'm going to just hang out by the pool." She's a good friend. She's just like, "Okay, Nancy, I'm going to wait for you. You know, when you're ready to go, I'll be there. I'll be here because I'm Barb. I'm your friend." And Jonathan's still out there snapping pictures of Barb, but then he goes to change his film. At that moment, Barb is bleeding from her cut, and the bleeding hits the pool. Now, it wasn't blood that attracted the Demogorgon to Will. Will was just in the woods. Will was riding his bike at the wrong place at the wrong time. But Barb notices she's bleeding. She looks down in the pool. She's like, "Oh, I'm bleeding." Boom, the lights go out. She hears a noise and blah, 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 blah. The Demogorgon. Boom. Barb's gone. Jonathan looks up. He sees nothing. And we cut back to Steve and Nancy starting to get it on. Oh, Nancy, I mean, she looked so like way too young and innocent to be doing this. I'm like, "Nancy, no." But Steve has got his claws on her. And that's when Hazy Shade of Winter comes on and boom, the show cuts to credits and boom, episode 2, The Weirdo on Maple Street is done. Woo! So what did we learn here? Well, we learned that, that Eleven knows something about Will somehow, some way. we learn that the Demogorgon isn't just after Will because Barb is gone. We learn that the Dr. Brenner, they know there's a connection between Will and the monster. They don't know yet that there's a connection between Will and the monster and Eleven. We know that Will is trying to communicate with his mother through, seems like, phones or electronics, stereo. We know that Steve is too good of a sweet talker. And really, that's about it. I mean, Barb's gone. The search for Will heats up. They think maybe it has something to do with the lab. They don't realize that they're actually tracking Eleven. I mean, great episode. Can't wait till next week. I mean, the show just gets better. The kids get funnier. The mystery gets bigger. Eleven shows off some of her powers, which is awesome. We get a better glimpse at the Demogorgon, is the way the mouth opens up. I just want to call it the Demogorgon. I mean, that's it. I mean, that is the episode. And I guess the weirdo on Maple Street is, I think it's Jonathan Byers. I think the teen jerks think of him as like being weirdo, and that's what they think of him as. Or it could just be the whole Byers family, which is unfortunate because Will's such a nice kid who doesn't deserve any of this, you know? But when you see Jonathan creeping around taking photos, it does come off a little weird. Anyway, this is it. This is episode 2 of Stranger Danger. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for subscribing. So you listen to this episode, but how can you subscribe? Maybe you found me on fansnotexperts.com. Maybe you found the tweet that I put out at Geek Mentality. But how do you subscribe? Easy. There's a link on every episode. There's a link to the subscribing on iTunes, subscribing through the RSS feed, subscribing through Google Play. Yes, I guess people do that. Subscribing through Stitcher. We are on all those platforms. You can find everything at fansnotexperts.com. If you search for Stranger Danger in any of those services, you will find us. And of course, Stranger Danger is part of the Geek Mentality podcast feed. So if you're already subscribed to Geek Mentality, you're already getting this episode. And if you're subscribed to both of them, for whatever reason, I think I'm the only one who is. Awesome. Thank you very much. This is Mike. And until next Friday, beware the Demogorgon. I'm just putting my microphone further away from my face.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.